Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of the Survivor Know It Oz. And I am wearing black. I have black pants, black t-shirt. I have a black veil on because I am in mourning. We had a really sad week when we lost AK, the biggest game player in the season. But I promised myself I would get over my mourning and I would celebrate because we have a special treat for you. We have someone who I've been dying to talk to for a very long time, and that person is here to break down everything on this week of Survivor, and that person is my old tribe mate, Connor!
Hello! And may AK rest in peace, Nick.
Yes, I know. Are you wearing black? Are you wearing black,
Connor? Oh, well, I actually just happened to be wearing black and a bit of crimson. Oh, well, yeah, you know, that can be in some cultures.
That counts.
Yeah.
Connor, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm good, Nick. Life's been busy. I haven't really slowed down since Survivor. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for anyone.
You are a very, very busy man. Like you're a hardworking bloke. tell everyone what you've been up to since the show.
Oh, well, since I left the show, I got a job in a law firm. That was a big mistake while studying at the same time. If anyone's going to uni, don't. I mean, if your parents can get you through, please, Lord, do it. And that didn't work out well. Well, it's working out well. I didn't get fired or anything, but it's a rough job. And so I've just got a new job, Nick.
Yes, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
What will you be doing?
Well, I'll be going to the Treasury in Canberra, and I'll be a policy analyst. So, that'll be fun. I don't think a lot of people would find that fun, but that's what I'm about now. Hey, that's what I'm going to do.
I lock myself in a classroom with teenagers every day and on the front line. A lot of people wouldn't think that's fun, and I think it's great. So good on you! Congratulations on your new job.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you kindly.
And you had your futsal grand final tonight.
I did. It's big news.
Tell the listeners what futsal is, and tell us if you won or not.
Well, first of all, it's indoor soccer. It's a big deal. There was maybe three people watching, including my girlfriend, and one of our mates' mums. And it didn't go well at all. We lost quite significantly. I think it was like 8-1. It was quite embarrassing. We were usually a good team. Like I swear, Nick.
were you having the VAR flashbacks?
I was. It was just the feeling of loss. I can't take loss now. It's like an adverse reaction for me. But Family Feud.
Yes.
We'll never forget.
Yes, exactly. You did very well. Well, loss seems to be the theme of the week because we lost the biggest game player in AK. And just wanted to kind of put some info out there. So everyone out there, if you have not had a chance to listen to my exit interview yet, I think you should pause. You should go listen to that and then come back and listen to us because I had a chance to speak to AK this week. I've been able to speak to all the players as they've been voted out. Usually we get about 10, 15 minutes pushed a little bit with Jackie. And, you know, when I spoke with Ben, he's also on the podcast, you know, 20 minutes we got. But when AK and I sat down, we were able to sit down for an hour. And we broke down absolutely everything in his game, and it was fascinating. So
I had tears in my eyes.
Yes. Well, there you go. You've heard it from Connor. So go and check that out. It was a lot of fun. So we're now here to pick up the pieces. Connor, how are you feeling about this season of Survivor in general? Just give us a quick broad stroke. So are you enjoying it, not enjoying it? Are you triggered watching it? Tell us.
I'm not going to lie, Nick. And this might be controversial.
Tell us.
I think it's a lot better than our season.
Oh, dude, that is not controversial at all.
I'm dropping it. You agree?
I've been saying that all season. I say every week.
No, but you're absolutely spot on. It's been fantastic, and I like it. I like it. They've really laid off this season in terms of the twists. I mean, there's been some twists, and they have been controversial, but they've very much let the tribes develop this social structure, and they've let it, you know, turn itself over, and that's been fantastic to watch, and that's what I really love to watch. And the players they've chosen. I don't know about you, Nick, but some of these guys, like Henry, I mean, I didn't even think of half the things that he's thinking of, looking for stuff during challenges. Like, the adrenaline's pumping so much within you when you're doing a challenge. I don't think about anything else but not fucking up. Whereas Henry, at the end of a challenge, is, you know, given clues around, and it's unbelievable. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, this season has been fantastic. And, you know, every episode has been fantastic to watch. You know, maybe there was one or two slow parts, but I feel like there was there's just been so much happening. And you know, think about the second episode this week where it's between two, you know, pawns or two characters who haven't been that big, yet it was still fantastic TV. Like, I think it's a testament to the season. Someone else wrote that on the comments. Don't know who it is. I'm stealing your line. But I think it's been great. So I want to drill down into a couple of things. So the big story is that AK is going home. We had the tribe swap. Did you like the drop your buffs? We hadn't actually heard that phrase in terms of a swap in Australian Survivor yet. So
yeah,
what did you think?
That was unique. Look, I was happy for it. I thought maybe an early merge was coming. I thought that'd be quite shocking, and I thought maybe they'd do it, but they didn't. And I don't know. I think it was only really two players that switched each side, didn't it? Like, it wasn't, which made it didn't feel that dramatic because of that. Like, it was kind of like, I looked at each tribe and I was like, ah, oh, it's the same. Just, you know, two are in a shitload of trouble. I felt for AK, especially since Annalise and Tara, you know, Annalise moved. Tara was still there, and I was like, you're stuffed.
Yeah, I thought that, like, you know, what I love about the drop your buffs is when it's just completely, like, everything gets, like, thrown against the wall. The fact that it was just the two did kind of feel like the swap we already had with Tara and Annalise.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still provided some great drama. But, you know, we did lose AK. So we got AK and Peter moves over to Asanga, and Michelle and Annalise go back. Michelle and Annalise go to Summertower. So what was your thoughts about what did you think was going to happen? Let's start with Asanga. So, you know, we'll save Summertower for the next episode, because that's, you know, let's break down these Asanga dynamics. So AK and Pete move over.
Yep.
Did you think there was a way that AK was going to be able to pull this off?
Look, I was really hoping he would. I thought, you know, if anyone can do it, maybe AK, but his reputation was just too huge. It's gone across tribes, and it's unfortunate because it is such a long game, 55 days. And unfortunately, AK, like a lot of new people, like myself and you, Nick, he hit too hard too early, and it's really hard to come back from that. It's really difficult, but my God, did he give it a shot? I saw them trying to, I mean, the way the episode played out was very much, look, AK's going home, and then, oh, wait a second, you know, maybe Sarah will save the day. And I still didn't quite buy that. I still thought AK, unfortunately, was going home, and I was devastated about watching it happen.
Yeah. Look, I was never buying that Luke was going to work with it. And I never thought that was a possibility, but I thought that, you know, Odette would kind of like rise to the occasion. And but you can't blame them. I was so angry. And if anyone saw my tweets and my Instagram stories, I was so, so mad, because I wanted him to stay and I wanted Tara to go. Sorry, Tara.
He was so great to watch as well.
Yeah. That you can't blame them. Like, I know. I feel like
speechless.
I'm
speechless. No, I'm
speechless.
I know.
Like, you can't blame Sarah and that for voting him out, because you have nothing to go on except what people are telling you. And Tara spread a vicious hate campaign against AK that clearly that those seeds started to kind of blossom into this idea that he's got to go. He's the biggest game player. And, you know, you and I were talking beforehand, you know, you and I swapped in one of the bigger moments of season one, and we both ended up on tribes where the other one used to be. We understand the power of that hate campaign, because your name came up a lot at Sinapu, and my name came up a lot at Vivea. How do you counteract that? Because AK tried so hard. Yeah. What did you try and do to counteract, you know, the fact that there were people still in the game who had it in for you?
I was just praying. I was praying, Nick, that that Flick and Brooke were just someone else would vote them out and just do the job for me. But it's almost impossible to counteract. You just have to sort of pick up the pieces. If you can make it through those first couple of tribals with that group, you can start thinking, well, hang on. Like Henry's original thought was, look, I get to switch tribes, and now I've got, you know, even more alliances potentially. And sometimes that works. I don't know if it's going to work with Henry.
Yeah.
But it's hard. I don't think you can counteract that. You're no longer in that tribe. And so everyone's going to be loose lip, regardless whether they actually liked you or not. It's easy. You're not there anymore.
What did you think of AK, you know, sharing the Maltesers and, you know, talking about, you know, Tara says, she goes, oh, I know how he works. He'll say this. Then he'll start talking about his girlfriend. And I'm sorry, she's not a clairvoyant. That was recorded later.
Yeah, so no, they always are.
Yeah, so what did you think about, did you think it was going to, you know, did you think it was a good idea to do that or just dive straight in? Look, these people think I'm a game player. I was playing at 100. Now I've got to play at 120.
God, yeah, no, you can't. I mean, you definitely can't slow down when you're in AK's position, which is one of the hardest things because they already think you're a game player.
Yeah.
And you've got one tribal. So, oh man, I don't know what he could have done. I mean, the best things you can do is try to share. You can try to talk about your family, but ultimately at the back of everyone's mind, and everyone will always think that. They'll always think, well, you're on the bottom. That's why you're doing this. Yeah. You only really see the real person when they're on top and what they actually think of you.
I think he exhausted every avenue. He tried the Luke Jericho thing. And you know,
he gave it a phenomenal crack. Yeah. Absolutely.
He tried the Sarah thing. He tried the Odette thing. He told me in his chat with me that he, you know, went and looked for an idol. You know,
also heavily impressed by the way he was able to like just jump in a tribe and look at it and see where the different relationships were so quickly. Like I remember when I switched, Nick, and I don't know about you, when I switched to Vival or when I went to when we merged for that final merge, I had no idea what the dynamics were for quite a while. And it's amazing that AK was able to pick that up so quickly.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I think that one of the things that I was interested in is that once we saw episode 13 with the one where Ben went home, we see that Sarah is talking with Peter. And she's saying, you know, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay because I don't trust Luke and I don't want to work with him. Now, could she have made that move earlier and gone with AK to get out Luke? So when I asked this to AK, he said that, you know, that wasn't going to happen. She was never going to do that because his reputation was just too big. And I understand that. But if you were in Sarah's position, would you have sided with the devil you don't know to get rid of the devil that you do?
I think what Sarah did was really rational. I think she looked at the plate that she had and why risk it for someone that is clearly being labeled as a big player and could very easily stab you in the back.
Yeah.
And I think it was a very easy move for her. I find watching Sarah's play really interesting. She's extremely clever. She's very good at playing the very social game as well as the strategic game, which is what makes her so dangerous. But I do worry about what she's doing by playing each side.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately that's a strategy that can get you really caught if you do it too early and you do it for too long. So for instance, I remember Machiavelli said, the political philosopher, he analogized a situation where if you were a city state and you had two bigger city states going to war with each other and you have a choice and they're both asking you to align with them. He said there's three choices you could make. He said you could either play the middleman and play him off each other and get the short-term advantage. But if you did to do that, whichever side wins will have free reign and the complete power to do whatever they like with you. And because they'd be pissed off because you obviously played both sides, you're likely to work your way in a pretty bad situation. Usually the best situation from Machiavelli's point of view was to choose a city state, make damn sure it's going to be the one that wins and stick with it.
Mm.
And I find it interesting what Sarah's doing. I want to see if it works out for her. I think she's definitely got the social and political capital to do it. And yeah, I can't wait.
Look worry, at though. You with the Machiavellian quotes. I love it.
Oh, thanks, man.
No, I think you're right. I think that, you know, you straddle the middle can get you so far, but sooner or later, the people on the other side are going to talk to each other, and that's when you're going to get caught out.
Absolutely.
It's been well documented on the podcast that I think Sarah is really good at this game.
But
I will say that in episode 13, the one when she was talking, was it episode 13? No, sorry. It's when she was talking to AK. For the first time, I thought she was a little bit wobbly under pressure. Yeah, I think she was trying to get something out of a coconut, if I remember right. It was in that scene where she didn't seem flawless, whereas every other time I feel like she's been flawless.
Which is insanely impressive, isn't it? Like it's just it's unreal. I can't believe her calms, like her nerves are that calm.
On her wobbliest day, she is. That is nowhere even close to how good I, how bad I am on my karma stack. So like,
absolutely. And when you see those cameras, like when you're there and you see those cameras, like you're having a one-on-one conversation and the cameras start moving around you and they get all excited. Then you kind of get excited. Even if you're not talking strategy, you start to lose your karma a little bit. It's kind of strange. And she's so cool under pressure.
No, that's a good point, actually. And I think that's something that doesn't translate until you've been out there, that the cameras can, not about that it's going home, that is going to be broadcast home. Yeah. I was always just like, there are other people listening in on my conversation, not the viewers, but just people, like giant 6 foot men with giant big
black. Absolutely.
It can kind of throw you off, and she's so calm and so good. I think that's a really good point.
No, she's deadly. I mean, do you think, what do you think is going to happen with her? Do you think she could win? Do you think she will win?
I said it in the preview podcast that I think she's going to go far. I maintain that she's going to go far.
I think that's
now
guaranteed.
That AK's gone, her and Henry and Annalise are probably like my horses in the race. Yeah. I can see her, and I think that's what I said in the preview podcast, I can see her making the top five, but I can't see her cracking the top three.
Yeah.
I think that she's going to be good enough to get herself there, and then the penny will drop for people. And I think, you know, I can see like a fifth or a fourth place finish for Sarah.
I agree, because I think she's so good at this game, and she's so good at being able to socialize that I think people may at some point start to realize that and go, oh my God, you know, this is a huge concern.
Yeah.
And I think this is silly, but I think the fact that she was advertised so much makes me feel like that she won't make it to the end. But
I can see
that's
that.
It's an out. If it wasn't for that, I would think, well, you know, she might as well win. Yeah.
I also think, one more point on Sarah, I think she's an editor's dream, because she is always providing the jeopardy, like, do I go with this person or do I go with that one? And that just, it makes such better storytelling. And she was, again, in the same spot this week. So rooting for Sarah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's really impressive to watch. It seems to come very naturally to her, which I can't say for anyone.
One of the other big stories is this, the showdown, AK versus Tara. Like what have been you, and you know, Tara's, we've got a few questions about Tara, which we'll get to later, but Tara's kind of, copped a lot of heat online and in the fan community. What's been your reaction to Tara? Have you been enjoying her gameplay? Can you understand where people are coming from? Give me your thoughts.
Look, I like that Tara is, you know, playing the game. I think what's frustrating is the sort of up and down of Tara. You know, she's extremely confident when she's on top, and she's devastated when she's on the bottom. And it's kind of like, oh, they can't understand how I feel in this situation when they just were. I don't know. I find the confessionals frustrating. But look, overall, I don't mind Tara. I really enjoy watching your interviews. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
Look, I've been well documented that, like, she's not my favorite person out there, but I appreciate that she has got her way. And do I give her credit for that? No. Like, I give the credit to Luke and Sarah and stuff like that. And I feel like if they wanted it to go another way, there's not really much she could do.
No, I'd agree. It's not a big blind side. I think I believe
no,
she said it was
yeah,
a, you know,
she
a
said
large
it's a blind side. It's like, if you think that the two people who come in from another tribe on the bottom is a blind side, you clearly do not know anything about Survivor. And for someone who talks about Summertow so much, learn how to pronounce the tribe.
I noticed this as well. Was it just Samatar? She called it Samatar?
Samatar, Summertow, I don't know. Like a summer beach towel. I don't know what she's saying.
I don't think I knew Aganoa's proper name until maybe halfway through. And I don't think Lee did either, actually, from watching his interviews. But she's been an interesting character. Do you think she's come out as the major villain of the piece?
I don't think, and I was actually thinking about this.
Or is AK
really
the major
question.
Villain?
I think that AK is the villain, and I think that you could kind of like paint, Luke as like a villain for doing villainous things, you know, wanting people out. But I think that she falls in that category of where she thinks she's the hero, but people don't think she's
viewer as the hero.
People don't view her as a hero, but I don't think she's a villain either. I think she falls into that no man's land and in between. So I don't know. I wouldn't put her on either side.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to tell. All you can say is she's a big character, but I can see the fans are definitely choosing her to be the villain. I guess you could say with AK, a lot of people are getting behind his gameplay. Some people some people hate him, and I'm not sure why people hate him, because I find him to be really charismatic and quite likable.
I think he's super likable.
I think maybe the fact that he's playing the game so hard, it's just people who are maybe new to the show aren't sure about it.
If you don't like AK out there, listen to the exit interview with him. You don't have to like him as a person, but listen to the way that he his alliance with, you know, Jared, Ziggy, Tessa, and Peter, the way that Summer Tower 5 worked together, it sounds like that's a masterclass on how to play Survivor, the trust they had in each other. That makes me completely debunks everything that Tara's saying about him being this kind of like terrible person. Mm-hmm. I've got a question here from Kate on Twitter. She says, absolutely. I know everyone on your show is nuts about AK and I like him too, but I'm also a fan of Tara and I feel like she is the castaway on Twitter everyone loves to hate. I actually really admire her sass and I'm really enjoying watching her play. I feel like we're seeing her figure out her game and learning that sometimes she needs to hide that heart on her sleeve. Would love to hear your thoughts.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. I can see that she's learning as she goes, and yes, I can definitely respect that. I'm not sure she's, I think she needs to learn about, start regulating what she's saying a bit more. Even I remember, what did she say last episode during when they're holding up those things? She said something to, I think, one of the guys, like Lockie, like drop it, Lockie, or something like that. And I think someone from a tribe said,
she was cheering Lockie on, like,
To drop it, I think. Well, yeah. I think it was to drop it, though. I'm not really sure. I'm not her, but it's
whatever it was. She definitely is figuring out the game. And what's never really kind of gelled with me is the hypocrisy, and maybe it triggers me because of playing with Sam. the hypocrisy that, like, you know, you're condemning AK where everyone's playing the game. Like, anyway. Yeah. Look, I have a feeling we're going to have Tara around for a very long time, because she's going to get to a point where she becomes a very viable option to take to the end.
100%. I hope so as well. I think she's been amazing to watch, and she's doing a massive treat to the show in general.
Well, I'm not going to go as far as I hope she's around, but I appreciate that nonetheless. One of the other people that was huge for the first vote was Luke. So Luke had some, like, what are your thoughts on Luke?
I love Luke. I've always loved Luke. Well, he's so funny. I mean, it'd be so frustrating maybe to play next to him, but God, he's just so funny. Like, you can't knock him. He's just so charismatic. He's the one liners that he pulls out of nowhere are just phenomenal. But, I think maybe at the start he was maybe being a bit more unpredictable. And I think maybe he's starting to get a grasp of it now. Hopefully, I love watching him. He's so fun to watch. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, totally. I love his one-liners are brilliant. He says, I'm the king of the jungle. There's a bigger shark out here. I want him on my wall.
So good. Every word that comes out of his mouth, like, I already start smiling. I notice I start smiling and my girlfriend starts smiling before he even says something in interview. It's great. He's just got that effect. He's so infectious with his humor.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he did a good job of directing being the big cheese. But, again, another question came in on Facebook, and it was saying, sorry, let me just, here we go. Oh, no, now I've lost it. This is making great airtime.
That's all good.
Okay. Meryn Curry asks, do you think Luke is going to shoot himself in the foot with this strategy of taking out all the big players? Because soon he will be the biggest player and get taken out.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's absolutely right. I mean, as soon as someone notices he's the big player, then they will. And I worry for him big time for Emerge, because it's been stated multiple times how likable he is and that people do like him. And he clearly has the social capital to do most things. I think no one wants to sit next to him at the end. And obviously he's going to be great at challenges when it's the one-on-one challenges. I don't think I can see Luke getting to the end because he's too likable and he's too good at challenges, unfortunately.
Well, we even heard in episode 13, they're already talking about they're going to pair, like, Luke's coming. The other tribe has identified Luke as the head of the alliance. So
yeah, which is so bad. It's so bad. You never want to be that. And I guess I think it's worked for him so far. It's worked for him really well so far, because, I mean, you don't want to be at the whim of one power couple and then get rid of that one just to be at the whim of another. So I think it's actually worked perfectly, and he's definitely helped a lot of people below and around him. But I think he's in trouble. I can't see him getting to the end just because of what I said before.
Another person that was key in the episode was the Peter, because he swapped over as well. Now, I want to get your take on this, because this is something that's really stood out to me this season. Traditional survivor lore tells us that when two people swap over into a minority and they are the minority, that the vote that week will be, who's it going to be? Is it going to be that person or that person? And they end up targeting each other. And we saw that in the next episode between Michelle and Ben, right?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
But with Peter, I was so impressed. And Peter, if you're listening, like, I was so impressed that he said, do you know what? I'm sticking with AK.
Yeah.
And you heard AK say it, that I'm not just going to go for, you know, try and survive one vote. I'm going to try and make something happen in the future. And he stuck with AK. And that's a really tricky thing, because he could very easily have just gone, do you know what, guys, this is too hard. I'm voting with you guys. Let's get rid of AK.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that was a great move by Peter. I think it's almost like the prisoner's dilemma in a little way, but I think it's better for them to work together in this situation. 100%. And I think it almost always is self-preservation usually comes in, especially if you're not that close with the person next to you. And so I can, you know, it's very easy to turn on the person. But I think what also helped for Peter, I think it was so obvious that AK was the big target to get rid of, that it just made sense for Peter not to just gun for him straight away. I think he probably felt a little safer, at least for the next tribal council.
Well, you went to a tribal council when the night that Barry went home, and you and Sam were both there. You know, we're both two minorities swapping in. Did the thought cross your mind to go, do you know what, this could be me, because your name was also kind of on the chopping block? Did you ever think, like, guys, can we just, like, get rid of Sam? Like, did you?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I mean, I think me and Sammy ended up working together, and I think that was because it felt like an obvious me, which some people think is strange, because some people think, oh, look, Sam's obviously a big threat in the future. Let's get rid of him. But, you know, obviously he's a huge
threat to my sanity, maybe.
But also a huge challenge beast. So I thought it was a no-brainer that we're going to get rid of me. So it just made sense for us to work together. And I had no idea Barry was going home until very, very, very late.
I think the way to play it, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn because it barely worked for me, but when Tegan and I went to Sinapu,
that's right, yeah,
I tried the plan to save both of us. But when it wasn't looking good,
when it's not working,
she was collateral damage, and it just, I think you should try, but you should know when to fold and just kind of let that person go. But good 100%. On Peter, good on Peter for kind of like sticking with his conviction, sticking with AK. I appreciated that, and it also makes him seem more desirable as an ally to the other people in the future, because he's stuck with his alliance.
It makes him look way more trustworthy, and that's what he needs when he's in the bottom and he's new. He needs people to trust him more than each other. But with your switch as well, Nick, that was interesting. And I agree. I think you should try it first. But I think, do you think Tegan was suspicious of you?
She was, but I was lucky, the type of player that she was, that she wasn't going to ruffle enough feathers and go, hey, hang on a second, I can get him out here. Because all it would have taken was her to just switch one vote, and then I would have gone home. So I think I was just lucky with the type of player. Before we move on, I just want to kind of like wrap up AK's game here for a second. So, you know, let's do a bit of a eulogy for AK. He's the 10th.
I love it.
The 10th boot of the season. He's the 10th player curse is what I'm hearing. So last season, Phoebe was the 10th player voted out of Australian Survivor.
What is this?
One of the biggest strategists, you know, a lot of TV around her. You know, she was associated with Idols, great TV, huge confessional count. Is this a trend that we will need to track?
Is this a new curse?
This is a new curse, I think.
I love this. It's like, you know, if you win the car, you'll never win the game.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to track that now. I'm never going to be able to stop thinking that when I watch Survivor. Who's going to be going 10th?
Yeah. So let's put a bow on AK's time in the game. Has AK changed the way that Survivor in Australia will be played? So let's say we're lucky enough to get a season 3, and hopefully we do.
Yep.
Will people now know that the AK game can work to some extent, or will it be like, do you know what, will it be the reverse and say, hey, that really, really didn't work, he went out on day 28? What do you think?
I think he turned it up a notch. I think season three will turn up a notch if there is one as a result. I think it's a really strong lesson. A really big lesson came out of this. A really obvious lesson that I think was given to the audience and probably new players that you gotta slow down. 55 days is long, yeah. And you gotta start playing AK around the middle, around about now, or wait till that merge. But then again, you might not make it that long, so you might be forced to play it earlier. Yeah.
One of the themes that came through on AK's chat with me was that he said, "I've got no regrets," and this is something that I feel my game. No regrets. If you're gonna go home, you're gonna go home. So
absolutely. Well, if I was AK, I'd have zero regrets. Like, he hit the pedal to the metal, and like he didn't hold back once. Like, you know, putting coral on a piece of string, that's insane. I love it. I love watching him. He was so good. And I think, especially for a big fan, like, I mean, for him to be, I would say, the biggest player so far and getting the most screen time, he's got to be proud of that. He's going to be forever connected and remembered with Survivor.
Well, AK, you will be missed. So hopefully we see him out there again one day.
Hopefully. If there's more seasons, he will 100% be coming back. And you too, Nick.
No. I'm very, very...
Are you saying you would say no, or you just don't think you'd get that offer?
I'm very happy with my life as it is here, just sitting behind the computer and watching from home. So for now, it's a no.
Fair enough.
For now.
Good. Political answer, I feel, but that's cool.
let's talk about some of the other big moments from the episode. So was the fallout from the super idol, the ultimate reward, and Ziggy's decision. So we unpacked this a lot last week with Adam. I had Adam Klein on the podcast. It was a great one if you guys want to check that out. But Ziggy comes back from the ultimate reward. What did you think about that whole scenario? Did you like the way she played it?
I wish she didn't tell anyone. I can see why she did, and you could see her regret within the interview after that, going, you know, I should have just kept it to myself. I was so unbelievably impressed that she managed to actually convince them. Like, I couldn't believe, like, her story was so clever. The fact that she gave enough or a reasonable amount of sort of explanation and realism in terms of how the producers might do it, that people did seem to buy it. And it was also really good because it was like, you know, I can give it to someone. So people immediately are going to be like, well, that's fantastic. I got to get close with Ziggy. You know, I want to be friends with Ziggy. So she gives it to me. And so it works into her game. So people are going to favor her more. So that's fantastic. And oh my God, what a power to have.
Yeah. I think I could write, you know, I could speak for an hour as to why it was the right decision, and I could also speak for an hour as to why it was the wrong decision. Yep. And to me, that just says one thing. There's no right answer. There's literally no right answer. Like, we could debate, you could debate one side and I could debate the other, and we could debunk each other's theories. And
no,
I think
you're not wrong.
That's the sign of it being a little strange, the twist, because that is a sign that you're always going to be in trouble no matter which way you go, because there is no one clear answer. And I've had people kind of sending me in answers of what they would do. I've had to think about it. I've spoken to AK about it. And I just don't know if there is one way out, but she did a pretty good job. So let's break it down what she did. So she comes back. Yep. She says, you know, she comes back with all that big box of fruit, which she kind of, that wasn't the reward. That wasn't the reward. But she says that she
can.
That was like a little teaser. She says that she has the ultimate reward that she can give to someone else up to the final five, but she cannot say what it is. Otherwise, it becomes void.
That's genius.
Now, I appreciate why she says that, because if you can't ask about it, then people won't ask her and she doesn't have to lie. So I think that gets a tick in the yes column.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But in the no column, what producer in their right mind would want a reward out there that can't be spoken about?
I know. No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. And I thought that was interesting. That tipped me to thinking that maybe they wouldn't believe it, because I mean, the whole part of the game is, you know, with the cookies, for example, you know, you get them to tell people, or just a couple of people, you know, and that's the fun of it. So, but they seem to buy it. They seem to absolutely buy it. I found it funny that they got her to sort of rummage around the marshes for.
Yeah, I know. That was so hokey. That was.
I'm not sure what that was about, but And she was kind of like tripping, almost hurting herself. But I'd find it interesting, Nick, as well, because you found yourself in a very similar situation when you were playing, where you had the, you know, the rice dilemma, where you had the small bag of rice.
Oh, I don't remember this, Connor. I don't think that happened.
Well, no, I felt for you, man, because I was like, that is like, what do you say to these people when you get back? Like, there's no way you're going to be able to convince them, especially with just two rice bags to choose from. Like, it's either you'd think, oh, maybe it'd be a big buffet or a rice bag. But if you got between two rice bags and you bring back a clue, no one's going to believe what you say.
Yeah, I think that. Look, like you said, I've been there. It's so hard because everyone is so skeptical. The game demands you to be skeptical of everyone. So coming back and just kind of like, you know, with no matter what you say, people are going to be skeptical. You need proof. This is what I learned from the moral dilemma is no matter what you say, you have to have something tangible that you can give proof to. So here's my suggestion of how Ziggy should have gotten out of it.
Oh, I like this. Yeah, okay. I'm all ears.
I want to run it past you because I think you've got a good head for the game. You tell me if this is good or not. She has two idols, one of them being a super idol, which cancels an idol, and another one being a regular hidden immunity idol.
Even more delicious.
The super idol, which cancels an idol, is very situational. Like, you have to be at a tribal council, the idol has to be played, and you have to want to cancel the idol. So while it is a huge power, it's also not always going to be in effect, right?
You might never get played.
Right. So I would come out and say, I have this super idol. It can cancel an idol. Look at it. Everyone hold it. Touch it. Look at it. Look at this.
Love it. Yeah, no, that's good. Is it more? Because that's so far as genius.
There's more. Okay. But you keep the idol in your pocket, the actual idol, the regular idol. No one's going to think that there's two parts to it. And you know, you maybe don't call it the super idol because then people will. But if you call it the idol cancel or something like that, you have that second piece, because what I learned is that you need tangible proof to prove to people that you're not lying.
No, 100%. I think that's really clever. And I mean, no one's going to feel threatened by her having, an idol counselor. But apart from maybe her two biggest allies. But I think that's actually a really good move. That's you've got proof immediately, and people aren't going to be scared of that. And but I do love what she did by, I can give something to someone.
Yes.
Because that immediately gives her strength in the game. Immediately going to make people want to be like, hey, Ziggy, how you doing? You know, like, I'll vote feet with you. Like, it's, I think that's genius as well.
Well, let's get out the pro and con list. That is one pro. People are now going to gravitate towards her and get in her good books. And I think you're 100% right. But on the other side, I would be thinking, well, hold on. Is the show going to make us vote for to give it to someone to then have that person then give it to someone else?
Like, yeah, true.
That doesn't seem like like the right mechanism in the game. And
doesn't quite add up.
Yeah. And so, again, I go back to what I said before. All your points are correct, but I also think all the other points are correct as well. So I'd love to hear from the fans what you guys think she should have done. But I'm sticking by my idea of give one and hold on to the other.
I like that. I would believe that, Nick. If you came back with one idol saying I can cancel out anything, I would believe that. Yeah, I'd eat that up.
Well, there you go. All I needed to do was to go through a highly traumatic moral dilemma to come out the other side with like some ounce
with a pearl of wisdom. Fantastic, Nick. Well, I was really impressed by yours as well. Like the fact that you made up a poem in your head and recited it. That was pretty phenomenal.
Thanks,
like,
oh, wow. I wish you were really on cool. My tribe when I came back with it.
I would have praised you. I would have been really suspicious. That was a beautiful poem, Nick.
Let's all hold hands. Okay, so let's transition to episode 13 because I think there was a lot of juice in the next episode. So in this one we have, it's all about Summer Tower and we have it starts with this scene, and it's now while we're on the topic of Ziggy, Ziggy's in the island, in the water. It's this kind of buff, good looking people, snorkeling adventure. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Like gods and goddesses just frolicking in the water. Bit of my pale ass in there.
Yeah, it was funny. So Ziggy sort of talking about this kind of three powerhouses, you know, these three people that are going to come together. This is like Lockie's dream, by the way. This is how you appeal to Lockie.
He's back in it.
Yeah, you have big muscles and you say, I want to work with you. That's his dream. But she then, which I think was good. I think it was good. She go, hey, AK's no longer here anymore. AK and Jared are my closest allies. I need some.
It loosens up that alliance, doesn't it? Like it allows them to all of a sudden spread out. If he was the one that was holding together, I mean, it gives reason for people like Ziggy to move on. And I think a really common thing people use to create an alliance, especially guys, is let's keep the strong people in. Let's keep all the big players because people are going to want to get rid of us at the merge. So we've got to stick together, guys. And I could see it working.
I agree. What did you feel about her kind of like telling them about the idol?
I wish she didn't. I really wish she didn't. I could see she was feeling good. She was feeling like she could trust them. And in that, you know, amazing moment, she gave it away. And I could see that she regretted it after it. I think like it is that, once again, it's that debate. Do you tell to gain trust or do you keep just to hide it to yourself? I think I'd probably just hide it. I'd be hide it. It's so high risk telling someone. You don't know what they're going to do with it.
It just seemed too impulsive to me. It just seemed too impulsive.
I agree. I can see how she did it, but I wouldn't do it. I don't think I would ever tell anyone about the idol unless I really had to.
To me, it kind of felt like, and tell me if this is a dumb analogy or not, but like, do you know when you like go away on like school camp or like, or when you go traveling and you meet people that you're like, you know, you spend this intense time with and you're like, oh, this is so fun. Like, I love these people. This is great. Like,
yeah, some euphoria, you know?
Exactly. And you kind of like, your guard comes down and you tell them something about you and you kind of bond, whatever. But then when you kind of go back to your real life or you come back home, you're like, Oh, shit. Yeah, why did I tell people that? Or like, oh, those people were great. I love those people in the time, but I don't like them anymore.
And then you start saying things like, oh, what happens in camp? Stays in camp, guys. And it's just downhill from there.
Yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, that's just kind of what it felt like to me.
I agree. And I can totally relate to the fact that she did that. And that's probably why she did that. And she would be like, yeah, she will be knocking herself for doing it. And I think the fact that you can see them considering it as well, going, oh my God, Ziggy's the most dangerous person out here.
Because
I really love watching Ziggy play. She's done great.
Yeah. What did you think of my favorite scene of the episode was the scene between Annalise and Henry in the dark on the beach. This has got to be – Annalise has had a couple of great episodes in a row.
Yep.
This was awesome. So to reset for everyone, you know, she's super sketchy on the clue that she saw or some people saw Henry give to Jericho. Which is a great pickup. She makes a decision to kind of confront him as kind of like a test. She does it in a really non-threatening way and she does it around other people so it seems like this kind of like we're all in this together. I thought that was really good. And she tests him. And I thought Henry was really bad and then saved it so well.
Totally. I was really impressed. I mean, I didn't really see that coming. To have that knowledge and to be able to use it, I mean, it's a real trick in Survivor. And it's something that, I don't know, I struggle to do. I think usually my default position personally, Nick, I'm not sure about you, is to stay silent and keep it with me until I really need it. I guess I've noticed that. Just throw it out there or throw it to someone. But I think my default position is silence. And I think that's not always good because sometimes taking those risks, like Annalise has clearly done, forced it out of him in a really gentle way. Mm. It was some A-class manipulation. Yeah. I mean, he had to give it away and it was almost like they formed trust out of it, which is so funny because she did it quite sneakily.
Yeah. Super, super gentle. And yeah, he was caught and he lied and he goes no, I don't think so. And no, is that what they said? But I loved that they started walking away and he just goes,
the explanation was great. Yeah.
Annalise, come meditate on the beach with me. And how perfect, you know, if the yoga thing never pays off again or everyone thinks he's done for it, in this moment is where the yoga thing paid off.
Because big time.
He was able to say, come meditate with me. Let's sit there. They sat there for 5 minutes in silence. She was a captive audience. He was able to gather his thoughts. Okay, I'm going to say this. Okay, let's start chatting.
Like, that's genius.
Genius. genius. And if anyone's a naysayer of the yoga thing, and I have been as well, but you know, not as much as other people, that's where it paid off.
Oh, and absolutely. And I love what he said as well. I thought, wow, that's really convincing, because he's like, he might have meant it from the heart, but I think honestly, he probably just said it because it was a really clever thing to say. He's like, he said something along the lines of, I've been saying, you know, I've been lying about the idol for so long, saying, you know, I don't have it, that my default reaction, Annalise, is to say, I don't have it. But, you know, I thought about it and, you know, of course I want to tell you. Like, it was just so clever. Like, oh, well, well said, Henry.
I wonder if that's what kind of like tapped into her going, you know, I'm lying about this thing too. No one on this side knows I've got it. Like, literally no one. I need someone to know that I'm powerful in this game and that I'm a good asset. I'm not just a number.
Yeah.
And I think so then she kind of spills the beans, which kind of then threw the power back to him. And I think that the whole dynamic was great because they both gave up something. They both looked like they were lying in some regards, but they also left going, no, wait, this is something that I can work with. So loved it. Annalise loved it.
It was actually perfect that Annalise took it, made that relationship even again by revealing that she has an idol. That was like crucial, pinnacle to gaining Henry's trust, because it really leveled the playing field. And they both went, oh, well, Henry probably was like, oh, well, I will never feel obliged. Maybe he didn't anyway. I'll never feel obliged to play it for you now I've told you about it, and you won't for me. So that's where we both want to keep this a secret. So mutually, we're going to want to keep that a secret. If you spill the beans, I'll spill the beans. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. You said something really interesting there. You said, like, she made the relationship even. And I think that is a really interesting phrase, because so much we think in Survivor is that I have to have things that you don't. I need to be powerful. And when you're not, I need to have knowledge that you don't. Whereas she, that can put a target. She kind of like, yeah, like you said, leveled it out, brought him back down so he doesn't have to go, well, now I got to get rid of her kind of thing. So, yeah.
You're right. They've given each other like a bit of, I mean, by evening it out, you don't have resentment and you have full trust, because you're both looking at each other straight in the eye and you're going, well, you could do that if I do this. Fair play. Yeah. I won't do it.
Yeah.
Be nice. I'll be good.
Before we get to like the whole Michelle Ben thing, like what did you think of the challenge? Like that there was the, it was the holding the hand with the sandbag, a nice little spin on a traditional Survivor challenge. What have you been thinking about the challenges this season?
The challenges have been phenomenal, Nick. And you know, they've been very creative. You know, animal shaped puzzles constantly, because I'm no good at that. You clearly would have loved that. You're so damn good at them. But no, they've been phenomenal. They've been so creative as well. I've been really, really enjoying every single one. And it tests lots of different facets of people. And I love the dilemmas around them.
Yeah. I thought that it was so interesting to see everyone's reaction when Tara and everyone walk in and AK's gone, and you just hear Ben saying, that's the biggest shit-eating grin I've ever seen.
I know. I think that was a really good call. Maybe shouldn't have called it, but I love that he did.
I just, to me, the thing that I can't get over is Lockie and his, I think it was Annabelle on Twitter said, you know, drink every time Lockie has a masculinity crisis.
That's fantastic. I love that.
He just seems so much like he wants to prove to everyone that he's this like huge macho guy. Like, you know, like what?
Yelling. And he doesn't need to. We could all see it. Like, I'm not messing with Lockie. No way.
Oh, God.
But he's unbelievably good in those challenges. Like, he's even Mark, who was ex-Special Ops. I mean, he's occasionally beating him, and it's phenomenal to watch. But yeah, no, I can totally relate to what you're saying.
Never I'm grateful give up, by Annabelle. Never surrender.
Honor. Well, I think one of his tattoos says honor, doesn't it?
Yeah, honor and integrity, or honor and strength, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
I thought it was funny when he said that, you know, like, oh, my arm weighs as much as Jared. It's like, oh, shut up, Lockie. Like, you know, we know your arms weigh as much as Jared. We can see it, you know.
No, absolutely. I've been actually loving the dynamic between some of the characters like Lockie and Jared, because I feel like they would come from completely different worlds. And I even liked how they had an alliance at one point, and I like that interaction. I find that really fascinating.
I'm enjoying watching Lockie as well. Like, he frustrates me a little bit, but I am enjoying watching him, because it's so funny when the show edits a couple of things together. So he goes, you know, the new Summer Tower, he's like, oh, the AK's gone. Everyone's so happy. It's like they've been set free. Like AK was like some sort of turn of the century slave trader, like whipping everyone. You know, he's just like,
that's a great analogy.
Yeah, he's just like, they've been set free. Everyone's so happy. And then you cut straight to Annalise and she's like, I'm not happy.
I'm in the shit. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, actually, I wanted to ask you, Nick, what do you think about Jared? Because I love Jared. Jared's my boy, and I've loved how he's been playing. It's been quiet, and it may not have been big and loud, but I feel like he's been playing a fantastic game. What do you think?
Jared plays the kind of game that can win you Survivor. It's the kind of game that doesn't win you airtime, like you said. And I'm a huge Jared fan, and you know it's such a shame that we went so long without hearing from him. But we got a good chunk of info from him
when he was dealing with Ben.
Yeah, when he was dealing with Ben, and I love it how he's just kind of so subtle. Like when they were all in the shelter discussing, and he was like, "No, keep it, no." Like he's just like so softly spoken. Brilliant.
He is, and you trust him too. He's like got such a kind, trusting face, and I can tell from the way he talked about Ben that he's willing to play this game, and he's totally down to play this game when he needs to. And I love that about him. And he's played the middleman so perfectly. Like everyone is always approaching him. It's great. No, I think he could win, and I hope he does. I love Jared.
God, I love him. Love him so good. You talk about Jared and Ben's relationship. So that's what I wanted to talk about. So the whole thing comes up of like who's it going to be? Is it going to be Michelle? Ben, you know, his name gets thrown into the mix. But what became evident, I think, in this episode is that a lot of people were looking at Ben to be their goat to the in the final two. You hear Jared says that I want to drag him to the end. I want to make him my wingman. You hear Henry say, I want to drag Ben to the end. You know, he's just been sitting here chewing grass for
He called him, I think he called him Billy Goat Ben.
It's just great. And when I spoke to AK, one of the questions I asked him was like, right now, first answer that comes to your head, who did you want to sit next to at the end? And he said Ben as well.
Ben. Oh, wow. Yeah, well, no, fair enough. It was interesting. This, like, we didn't see enough of Ben. We didn't see enough of him socializing too. I mean, all we really had to go on was, I guess, the cheat sheets. And every now and then, I guess, he would talk. But it seems like he had trouble connecting with the tribe. And I guess, like he was very – like, I noticed every time he did speak, quite often he did say something quite profoundly insightful. Like when he got voted out, he said, you know, I think, you know, I'm quite young, you know, I'm often young players when they come in, they have trouble playing the game because they don't have that life experience. And damn, he was spot on. Like that was like, it was right on point.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I wanted to ask you because I feel like there's a lot of comparison, but not in the play style, but with this whole thing about the age, because Austin Smith writes in and he says, Ben has often been mentioned as this season's Connor, as the youngest of their seasons. Both of them went out around a similar point in the game. Obviously, you went a little bit further. But what's Connor's biggest lesson that he learned that he can impart to future young guns hoping to crack the single-digit placement?
Oh, that's a great question. It's hard. Well, I think social game, like that's something I would take from, I think a lot of the youngest players, I think, and you can see it even in the US season. I think, when Adam won, the youngest player, he was like 17. Will. Yeah. I think it's the social game that some of the youngest players probably struggle at the most. And it's one that a lot of people underestimate when you're just watching the show, because you think you can just go there and play strategy, but you actually have to make bonds with people and you have to be able to connect with people. And everyone else is a lot older, and sometimes they are at a sort of a more mature and a different social level to extremely young players. And I think that's probably the biggest disadvantage for young players. And it's one that you can't just quickly or in a blink of an eye overcome as a young player coming into a game. You can't just be like, well, I'm just going to socialize better or be more mature. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. How old were you when we played? So you were 23?
I was 22. I was 22 going to 23, yeah.
Right. So, but the thing is that you started off on a tribe with quite a lot of young people. You were with Brooke and Flick, who were also like 23 or something like that.
You're right. And this is where my own words come back to bite me, because I actually had trouble like socializing with a lot of the people I found on Sinapu. I found them quite different to me in terms of people. But when I moved to Vavao, and maybe you found the opposite, Nick, I got along really? With everyone extremely well at Vavao. I felt like they were kindred spirits. It was quite funny, actually. And they were a completely different age group.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I had the exact opposite, which is quite interesting. So. But this whole idea of, you know, people who are quite young, I think the trick, and I don't think this hampered your game in any way, because you're very mature, well-spoken, and you are like a completely lovable, affable bloke.
Oh, stop it, Nikki.
Stop it. But I think that where Will Wall and maybe Julia Sokolowski from Brains Brawn Beauty, and also now with Ben, the problem that they've encountered is people not taking them seriously.
Yeah, no, and, that's yeah. Sorry, keep going.
But how do you combat that?
Oh, it's so hard. I mean, it's not something you can immediately. I mean, life experience is how you can combat that. I think you just have to be really self-aware. You can't just be that. It's unfortunate. I couldn't say, you know, watch out for this or this or this, because it's something that you can be aware of that you need to improve at. And clearly Ben was aware of that, but there's not a lot he could do about it. He just couldn't connect with people, it seemed. And I think he felt goofy. I think because I think the younger you are as well, the more sort of insecure maybe you feel about yourself as well. And you can start getting into your head thinking, you know, I look like an idiot out here if you make a mistake, and it's hard to recover from that. But the older you are, maybe you're more confident in who you are. I don't know. Feel like you can cap everything I'm saying here as well. I think
that's exactly right. Like, I would never have wanted to play Survivor when I was 21, 22. Like, I was definitely not in – mature enough to cope. I was barely mature enough at 28. Like it's a tricky game. So I think that what it reminds me of is, like, you know, my students right now, I had a couple of them come up to me the other day saying, you know, I'm trying to get a job, but no one will give me a job because I don't have experience.
Oh, and it's just classic.
A lot of people will relate to this, that like you need life experience to be taken seriously, but people don't want to give you the life experience.
No, you got to try and get it somehow on your own. It's that brutal sort of paradox, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you ever worry that people weren't going, if you made it to the end, that people wouldn't give you the money because you were 22?
I didn't think people wouldn't give me the money because I was 22. I feel like I would be able to give a spiel that would reflect that I'm not just going to spend it on, you know, I don't know, just random things, or that I shouldn't be taken seriously. I feel like I would have had enough reasons for people to at least give me an equal shot in terms of what I might do with the money, I suppose. It's hard. I think you can. It depends. I guess it totally depends on the individual and how you see them as an individual, and if you think they're going to be responsible, if you think they're deserving of it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Look, I have no idea. I have no idea. I think that people would not with you again because of the reasons I said before. But I can't. I think their read was right to want to bring Ben to the end, because I don't know if I'd vote for him to win, not because of the money, but because. I don't know. I don't know. I just think
I would have done it via the gameplay. I would have gone, look, Ben wasn't a big player. He didn't seem to be getting along with everyone. And you could literally say, I goated him here. And that's enough to make.
Yeah, it's not about the age. I think if someone's earned it with their gameplay, then they win. So we talk about Ben being young, and he got eviscerated on Monday night. Like, he got chewed up.
It's hard to watch.
It was tough. He got completely decimated by Michelle. They are like polar opposites. Ben seems completely lovely. He said in his interview with me that he was non-confrontational. He seems really slow when he explains things, goofy and awkward. All these really endearing traits.
Absolutely.
But traits that can be so easily manipulated by someone like Michelle, who is like a, you know, she's like a dog with a bone.
And yeah, I mean, it equally breaks my heart, and as well as I'm just so impressed with Michelle. Like, she really stepped up to the plate. She showed right then and there why she was chosen, because when push comes to shove, she will source information, she'll obtain it, and she'll use it perfectly, flawlessly.
Yeah, I think she did a really good job, and I think that because she just wouldn't let it go. I'm really, really, really surprised that they went with that. There must be something that we're missing. I can't understand why they would get rid of Ben to keep Michelle. She's clearly, clearly much more untrustworthy. And Rob Cestanino actually wrote in with a question for us to discuss, Connor. He said, was it just me, or did they make the completely wrong choice by voting out hapless doofus Ben instead of feisty, schemy Michelle?
Yeah.
Also,
I think 100%. Oh, sorry,
I was really duped by the edit because this had Michelle was 100% going home written all over it. So let's deal with that in two parts. So the first part was this, you know, do you think that was the biggest mistake for them?
I think, well, once again, it's hard. Like, we know what it's like with the edit. Like, you know, it's so much that's missing. It could have gone a completely different direction than we even thought. But from what we do know, I feel like it was the wrong decision. I mean, you've got Michelle, who has relationships on the other side. Like, she will be a danger moving forwards as much as almost anyone else. Whereas Ben didn't have those relationships. He moved because he didn't have those relationships.
Yes.
So it would have made sense to keep him. But then again, I guess you couldn't trust them both equally as much, because Ben was willing to flip if he needed to, and and Michelle was too. But I think ultimately what swings it is Michelle actually had numbers elsewhere.
I think that, you know, Ben has been with you guys for longer at Summertown, and Michelle has just come in. She's on the bottom. She will say anything. Do you want to go up against someone who's willing to just kind of like attack? You want the safer option? I don't understand what the hell Henry was thinking. Henry should have much more information than he was giving out, because and AK said that when he came over, he was very tight-lipped about the dynamics at Asunga. But he should know that Michelle was chatting with Luke and Jericho, and that she's in,
and that she had that influence, and that's, he probably would have assumed, because he's a very clever guy, he would have assumed that she would have been part of the reason Jackie's gone.
Exactly. And she didn't like Kent, and Kent is gone. Like,
yep. And then you've got Jared as well, wanting to keep Ben for reasons of like an easy alliance for him, and he was saying no. And it's interesting. I wonder if Ziggy was that ultimate flip in the end, because she looked really shocked in Tribal when it was revealed by Michelle that Ben had let loose on her reward. And it's interesting to see her reaction, because she looked shocked and annoyed. And it felt like, because it's so hard to switch a vote once you're at Tribal, like it's so risky.
Yes.
But it did feel like people were starting to change, and it did seem to become alive. Well, and so I think,
I asked this of Ben, while you bring it up, this is a good question. I asked, he said that Ziggy did know, and that she was playing it up at Tribal Council, that she didn't. And he also said that it was not a live Tribal Council. But there were some really key indicators that they were considering switching, or they were, you know, why would that not be live if Lockie and Annalise were talking so much? And I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that the people who we expected to vote for Ben didn't, and the people that we expected to vote for Michelle didn't. Like, it kind of was a bit of a swap. So it was Jared and Henry who voted for Ben, and Lockie and Annalise who voted for Michelle. So I clearly think they split the vote, which they did.
And they had that planned.
Yeah, but they had it planned. So I think that kind of explains it. But yeah, I think that was just a weird, there's something that we missed in that.
Do you think maybe they were thinking about switching to Michelle, like listening to her talk? There was a point where at first I was like, wow. There's a point where I was like, wow, she's speaking amazing. And then even for me, it tipped to the point where I was like, whoa, she's talking a little too well. Like, this is a little bit of concern.
Connor, I love that. I think you're onto something. So
we might have been switched by the edit to think the opposite than what was actually.
Right. So we were sold this idea that Michelle was going home. And then when we get to Tribal Council, we get sold the idea that they're trying to switch it to Ben, when in actual fact it was always going to be Ben, because they had a plan in place. But at Tribal Council, when they were talking, they were thinking we should switch. I think that could be
Maybe.
I think that could be it.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't hear what they were saying. I just heard them talking.
Yeah, I
was
have to go back
like,
and watch it again.
Mm.
Connor,
100%. It's hard to tell.
Something. I think you're onto something, mate.
Thanks, Nick. I like to think I can investigate when I need to.
You know, that's really good. I like that. What did you think about Michelle's actual arguments, though? So she was saying that he's a super fan.
Yeah.
He's a flipper. He's not going to be Summertown strong. I'm Summertown strong. It's like, she's been there 2 days. Like,
I know.
And
yeah,
she says that he's just going to join up with Luke. What did you think about all her arguments?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the power to her was talking about how he'd let loose the reward. No one else had, and she knew about it. And also when she was grilling him, like I think he slipped up, didn't he? I can't remember exactly how he slipped up, but he kind of did one of those things, what like he did in the beach next to Annalise, yeah, saying, you know, like I think I'll be with you guys. No, I'll definitely be with you guys. Like I can't quite remember, but I think it was just the buildup of it. Like Michelle was firing, and unfortunately, in a lot of places in human socialize, you know, when we socialize, usually the loudest voice it can often be the most victorious when it comes to an argument. Unfortunately,
yeah.
And I think maybe this was a case of that. But Michelle did have some good arguments. I think saying I'll be seven tails strong and he won't, I think that's never an argument that's really going to switch people over. I mean, everyone's going to say that. I think the reward, though, that was a phenomenal effort on Michelle's part. That shocked me. I was like, well done.
I think that Ben was his own worst enemy in that whole situation. He did not, and in his chat with me, he said that he was able to counter some arguments, but yeah, I think he just kind
ultimately
of crumbled. I think yeah. Edmo writes,
I mean, the pressure. Yeah, sorry, you go.
No, it's fine. Edmo writes in with a really interesting question. He goes, did Michelle paint Ben with the plans that she intends to make when things merge?
Interesting.
So she's figured it out. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back with Luke and Jericho, the people who I like. It's going to be Jericho coming for Lockie. You know, sorry, Luke coming for Lockie. I know where I'm going to sit. Hold on. This is what I can say he's going to do. And she just kind of like, she had such detailed knowledge of what he could do, what trouble he could, because it was her plan.
Yep, and it became believable, the fact that she had this. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's incredible.
I think one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about was what she says to Lockie. So she mentions to Lockie that Ben's been throwing his name out there. And in our conversation, Ben said that he was still under the impression that Lockie was the one going home, because when AK was around, it was going to be either a Lockie Henry kind of situation.
Yeah.
So he just was getting, didn't have the new information that Lockie had been brought back in because Annalise had changed the dynamic and AK.
I know. And he can't say that though. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
because immediately you're admitting that he was going home. It doesn't matter about the context. I mean, you can't just go along with the bottom line. It's still going to upset him no matter what, is it? Like it's a lose-lose essentially. And the way Michelle got it out of him. I mean, I always find this interesting, Nick. Like Michelle sort of extorted that information out of Ben. that he wanted Lockie to go home, right? Or he thought that was going to happen. Could have she just lied about it? What do you think about just flat out making something up like that?
Oh, I'm all for it. Like I think in that situation, Adam and I spoke last week about how you shouldn't lie as much as you think you have to on Survivor, and I agree. I didn't lie that much as I thought I would. But in an instant like that, when you are on the bottom, you don't need to do the legwork. If you get the legwork done and it works, great. But if not, just come up, just lie. Just say whatever you need to survive another day. And I think that she will be around for a while.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think she'll be around a while too. I mean, it'd be interesting to see, because I think the ads alluded to her gunning for Henry, one of the big dogs. And I think Henry's so clever. I can see an idol and it's going back on Michelle.
I obviously would love Henry to come out tops in that, but I don't know. I can see some craziness coming there. The last thing I just wanted to, while we're on this topic, was, you know, we talk about Lockie being taught, you know, he's coming for you, and then Lockie is just gung-ho. Lockie wants him gone. Did you ever have an experience like that where someone either A, came to you with that information and you had to sit on it, or you did act on it, or did you ever witness something like that happening? Because I don't really have that in my Survivor experience, and I wanted to get some insight from you if that was something that is a thing that people just, you hear it, that's it, it's got to be that person.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm always skeptical, no matter, especially when you're hearing it from someone from the very bottom. I mean, immediately when you know they're on the dead bottom and you know they know, you're going to be second guessing every single word they say. Like, you always, there's always kind of like a smirk at the back of your mind thinking they're saying this because of their position. And so you always got to question that, essentially. But yeah. I don't know, it's, if it's believable, then yeah, of course you're going to believe it. And most people will eat it up. The paranoia gets to you. Most of the time you're thinking, people probably are out to get me, aren't they? And as soon as someone confirms it, it freaks you out. Yeah. Especially when you got no food, you go loopy. Like, it's insane.
What about at tribal council? Where did you think that Jonathan should point out, like, oh, what are you guys whispering over it? Would Jeff Probst have done that? Like, so far we've seen a lot of Jeff dealing with these kind of like live tribals recently in recent seasons. Did you think that Jonathan played it well, or was there anything that, you know, he should have done? Should have just let them chat?
Oh, it's hard because you kind of want them to chat. I feel like if you're him and you've got the producer behind you, you want them to chat. You want them to do something crazy last minute.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is entertaining when Jeff pulls him up and goes, hey, what did you just say there? But I think if it becomes a live finale, you let it happen until it becomes too chaotic and confusing. And you let that for a second, you know, you can soak up the chaos for a sec, and then you go, okay, everyone come back. What the hell is happening? So I think you played it well. I think if there's a little whispering, you know, that's cool. That's cool. Let the whispering happen. What do you think, Nick? Do you think he should have pulled it up?
I think he did pretty good, because that's the first time, I think, in Australian Survivor history that there's been that kind of like whispering at tribal like that. So I think he did well to kind of deal with it. So the preview on Australian television for next week shows a really, really live tribal. He says, he's like, whoa, this is the livest tribal I've ever seen. So, you know, we'll save that question, I guess, for next week then.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. I think Jonathan, he's so good at it. He's so witty. He's very good at assessing a situation and then acting on it immediately. I was so impressed, and you genuinely become terrified of his questions. Like, he's on point.
So Connor, that, you know, we've chatted about a lot, but we've got a few more things that I want to do. So we've got some questions, which I think would be, we can go through. I've also got a great game coming up for you by the great Shannon Gates.
Good on you, Shannon.
We've got the DQ award and all this, but there's one special little thing which I wanted to play for you, and I think people are going to get a kick out of this. So, again, the great Shannon Gates, my the Noah Doz intern, she she has come up with a song, a lovely song for our dearly departed AK, and I would like to play it for you now. It's for 60 seconds, and I think it'll ease us nicely into the next phase of the podcast. So, everyone, here is Shannon Gates' rendition of a eulogy for AK.
This is genius. All right.
Another turning point, a swap put in the game. A new buff on your wrist and now a new tribe name. Tara told Luke that you were running the show. I blame this on the non-elimination episodes. The game is unpredictable, but we don't think it's right. Put out your chicken idols for Aaron Knight. Take your confessionals and Velcro wallet lines. Now that you're gone, Jared might just get screen time. Controlling Summertown, invading Lucky. We wish it wasn't you who had to get Phoebe'd. The game is unpredictable, but we don't think it's right. Put out your chicken idols for Aaron Knight.
What did you think?
That is, it's better than the original. I can't believe it. That is so, it's so good. She's an incredible singer. She's, where did you find her?
She is the Noah Doz intern, and she is absolutely brilliant. Everyone can follow her on Twitter at Shannon Gates. You might be hearing from her on the podcast coming up in the next couple of weeks. So
I'll be following her immediately. That is so good. That was so clever.
Yeah, put out your chicken idols is so good. I love that.
And Jared finally might get his screen time. Yeah. That is genius.
Well, AK definitely got Phoebe'd. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you was one of the questions. We're going to transition to some of the questions now. Did you think that a lot of people were saying that the twist was unfair? Alice Borelli says a lot of people are saying that AK was voted out due to an unfair twist. Do you think that the twist was unfair? We spoke about this a lot. So just your quick take. We're talking not so much the tribe swap. That's not what people are talking about. The twist from a couple of episodes ago. Yes or no?
Yeah, no, I think in my heart, I feel no, but I feel like I'm a hypocrite for saying that because ours are so similar, Nick.
Yeah.
I wish it was just announced before it, just before they did the vote, but I don't think that would have changed the result.
Yeah.
I find it hard. I'm neither here nor there. I can't.
Yeah. What I had said was that it was quite similar to ours, but there was a mechanism built in that made it seem like it couldn't just be pulled out at last minute. So
it felt like, Nick, it reminded me of when I can't remember the name of the season when they had all those people that were voted out, the outcasts.
And they
brought them back for a challenge and they got to come back in the game. It felt a little bit like that. I know it's completely different, but I don't know. That was just more my heart. Said.
Sure. So Meron Curry also asked, when people swap tribe, no wait, sorry, wrong one. Here we go. John Densford says, what do you think happens to AK's alliance now that he's gone? Will they just become pawns in a pending Luke Henry war at the merch?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they're in a better position than both Luke and Henry. I think they've got each other, but also they've got the ability to spread around now, and they're not going to have some sort of, someone, a patriarch, if you will, or a head of an alliance trying to keep them all together. So I think it's a fantastic result for them. I think I can see a big sort of alpha male standoff being used to them, and I think that's going to be great for them. I think it's just going to further them more. They're playing the middle men and women perfectly.
Yeah.
Why not?
AK revealed that they work, very well together. That I think they will actually benefit from him not being there, like drawing so much attention to them. But they definitely have kind of like taken a hit there because I think that it will splinter. So, but Rob Cestanino, another question Rob sent in on the podcast.
Oh, fantastic, Rob.
He says, I don't want to be results orientated, but can a player like AK ever go really far in the marathon that is Australian Survivor?
I feel like I've answered this before. They can, but they can't play so hard so early because as soon as you get that reputation, you're that huge player, you're going to go. You're going to go pretty quickly. If not, imagine if you started playing it now and then imagine 10 episodes down the road, he'd be so much closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they can win it. Not from playing like that from the start.
Yeah. I don't, to be honest, I've got a feeling that we're not going to get a big game player winning this season. I hope so. I'm not feeling it. I don't think it's going to happen. So
I agree. And I think just being a human being, can you actually take that much drama and that much adrenaline for 55 days? I think I'd die. Let's flat out. I'd die.
I was there when you went home.
I died.
You looked like you were very close to death. And
I felt like it. My girlfriend has described my farts like death. Like since that, it was ridiculous. I couldn't think of anything else but food.
I have a question here. So, and apologies if this makes you upset, but Maddie on Twitter says, I want to hear from Connor, who knows what it's like not to make the jury, because we're at this phase where we're getting close to the jury. And I want to do this on air. I've said this to you before, but I want to say this on air. I apologize for voting you out. I am so sorry.
You should be, you bastard. No, not at all, man. That's totally fine. Water under the bridge. I'll never forget. And Matt, you cut me deep, man. Yeah. You cut me so deep. It burns. It burns. I feel like I was further away. I wasn't Kate, Kate was on the doorstep. And I thought because there was a merge, it would be me. Like, I'd get to make it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no. That would have been amazing.
Was part of you relieved that you could just kind of go home and kind of like you could just...
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God, Nick. Yeah, it was funny. Like, you fight. And finally, when your torch is snuffed, you just feel this wave of relief because you don't have to keep fighting anymore. You don't have to deal with the pressure and you start looking forward to your kids. Like Tara was saying how excited she was when she thought she was being voted out. And I can totally relate to that. You're grateful that it's over. You're grateful you had it, but you're so grateful when it's over.
Yep. Stephen Schultz says, trying to think of the closest comparison to Luke in his US Survivor. Do you have any ideas of who you think is his doppelganger?
Oh, that's a great one. I'm not sure about doppelganger. He reminds me, I think he's a better player than this. He reminds me of, what's his name? You know, he won the game, long blonde hair. He won like all the challenges leading up to the final. Do you remember what I mean? Like he was like a surfer dude.
Fabio.
Just slightly. Luke is clearly much more intelligent with his gameplay than Fabio, but just his humor, just his character, I just love it. I just love it. Yeah, reminds me of it.
That's interesting. I get Tyson vibes, just this kind of like
Tyson,
cheeky kind of like troublemaker, rat bag, you know, gets away with saying things that he really shouldn't get away with, but also has a bit of an understanding of the game. Also seems to not take it too seriously, which is endearing, but also you know, like we see Tyson make this huge blunder in Heroes vs. Villains. He's like, it's all right. I'm still awesome. Like, I feel like Luke would have the same reaction.
Yeah, it's just water off his back. Like, he breaks all the rules, all the survivor rules, but he's just got the charm and the charisma to keep going. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you'll literally say, if you do this, I'll vote you off. Like, he said that by the fire, and everyone just laughed, and it was fine. I love that.
I got a couple more questions. Let's go through them real quick. Mark Percy says, do you think the AU Survivor should start the merge earlier? The post-merge game is usually the best part, and there is no reason to push it back so far in a 55-day game, just so the jury will begin at that time. I think the merge would have been great instead of the swap. What are your thoughts?
I think they should. I think they should move the merge forwards by cutting down the players to 18.
That's not going to happen.
You know, it's not going to happen. So I think with 24 players, I think you shouldn't bring it too early. I think it becomes too complicated if you do it too early. You've got too many players and too many floating votes. It becomes hard to track. But that could be entertaining in itself. I mean, we haven't seen that before.
The irony is that in most seasons, it's the pre-merge, which is the boring part, and the post-merge is the best. But in our season, the pre-merge was, I think there was much more exciting stuff that happened than in the post-merge. So it was a couple of things, you know, there was, you know, a bit of a drama between Sam and I, and then Flix was the huge moment, and, you know, but definitely it was a bit of inverted. So, you know, I'm not rushing into a merge for this season.
Yeah, I'm not rushing into a merge either. I'm really enjoying the dynamic of what's happening right now. I feel like they can keep it going. I feel like there's going to be enough flipping and turning that it's going to make for some really unpredictable tribals.
Edmo wants to say, Connor, who would you have voted for in the end last season?
I would have voted for Lee. I would have voted for Lee. I love Christy. I spent a very long time with her on a tribe, and ultimately I was very impressed with the way Lee played. I know there was a lot of drama about how he was taking this sort of a morality approach, but if you were to take that away for a second and you look objectively at the fact that this huge guy who was clearly good at challenges managed to make it to the end, and he managed to draw Christie's vote as well against other people's votes, and I thought that was impressive.
Cool. Excellent. All right. We have a little game for you. Would you like to play?
I wouldn't. No. No, absolutely, man. I can't wait.
So we have a game that was based around the fact that, Connor, when most people think of you and I, they think of that swap moment, that the Nick Connor swap. We made a little bit of Survivor history. So Shannon and I thought we would come up with a game called Buy, Swap, and Sell.
Oh, this sounds fun. Yeah, okay, I'm keen.
It's kind of like Ding, Marry, Kill, and like Passion, you know, that kind of game there. So what it is you get to tell us, are you buying this advantage? Are you selling this? So are you buying the option? Are you selling the option? Or are you going to swap it to maybe use it a later time? Though you don't mind it, but you're going to kind of keep it for later.
So I'm either taking it, rejecting it, or holding off.
Holding off for now.
Okay, cool.
All right. I feel you. I'm with you. Swap and sell the players from this season. What do you think? Henry, Luke, or AK? Imagine you're a player in the game. Who are you buying? Who are you selling? And who are you swapping onto the other tribe?
That's a good question. So Henry, Luke, and AK.
Yeah.
I'm buying Luke. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can get along with Luke. I'm going to have to sell AK, and I'm going to bide my time with Henry.
Interesting. Interesting. Very good. Very good. I think I'm buying AK.
You're buying AK? I'd be worried with him on my tribe.
Definitely.
I'm not,
but I'm also worried with Henry, and I'm also worried with Luke. So I just think, which of those three could I get along with the best? And I think I could get along with him.
No, good call. Good
All
call.
Right. These US players, buy, swap, or sell. Rupert, Sandra, Russell.
Oh, I would. Thinking about Russell, what do I do with Russell? I think I think sell Russell. I think I'll sell Russell. I'd be too afraid of Russell. He's too good. I'd either have to jump on his train or just go out. Like, I just couldn't. So I think I'll sell Russell. I'll buy Rupert. I think I could get along with Rupert. I think Rupert could be really loyal to me. And I'll bide my time with Sandra. That's how she wins.
Look what you've just done. You just gave her a third million.
That's why she's the queen. That's why.
All right. Players from last season.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little wonky because you played with some of these people, but let's give it a go.
Right. I'll let my bias come in.
Buy, swap, or sell. Dez, Phoebe, Christy.
Dez, Phoebe, Christy. I'm going to sell Christy. Christy was a bit too unpredictable for my liking. That's a good question. I'm gonna buy Phoebe, and I'm gonna buy my time with Dez.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I'm selling Christy, like you said. I don't know if I can deal with that for the longer than in terms of like in the game. I think she's great, yeah. But yeah.
It's not always.
But yeah, I think I might have something very similar. All right, here's Rob has a podcast one for you. Ready?
Fantastic.
Buy, swap, or sell. Nick Iadanza, Stephen Fishback, Rob Cesarino.
I love that. I love that. Well, I'm buying Fishback. I'm sorry. I'm buying Fishback. I think everyone should be buying some Fishback. I think I might bide with you Nick, and see, I think I'll sell Rob.
I thought you were going to sell me. I voted for you.
No, I'll buy you. I think we could get along. I think we could do well in a tribe.
It was such a shame that we never got to actually kind of to make something work.
Yeah, to play. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe one day, maybe not.
A couple more buy, swap, or sells. These are for twists, though. Me. Okay, so we're going to do some US twists and some AU twists, and then we're going to get to the DQ award. US twists. The buy, swap, or sell. The super idol, Tony mm-hmm. super idol, not Ziggy. Yep. Tony yep. super idol. The vote steal, or the advantage. So the reward steal. Sorry, Adam Klein's reward steal.
Look, I'll buy the super idol.
Of course.
Taking the vote, I mean, it only sometimes does anything. I think I'm selling that.
Mm.
I think I'll bide it with Adams.
I think we are very in sync with this game. This is making
you the same answers.
This is really making me regret voting for you.
Well, or should it? You know, that's a bit of a worry.
That's true.
You think I'm a similar player, Nick?
Yeah. Last one, the Australian Survivor twist. So buy, swap, or sell. Non-elimination tribal councils, 55-day game, the idol canceller.
Look, I'll buy the non-elimination. I don't mind non-eliminations as much.
I don't mind it either. Everyone hates it. I don't mind it.
I'm okay with it. I still enjoy it. I think I'm gonna sell the counselor. Back at this. I'm gonna sell the idol, and I think I'll leave it with the 55 days. I mean,
okay.
I'm into that now.
We finally differed on one.
What was yours, Nick?
Oh, I'm selling the 55 days.
Oh, fair enough. You're done with that one.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I can understand that.
Look, I lasted 37 days. If there was an American season, does that make me like come third or fourth or something like that?
You can always say that, Nick. When anyone asks you, how did you go? You just say 37 days.
And everyone's like, oh, great. You made it to the very end. Yeah.
She's like, yep. That's it. Thanks, mate.
All right. There's one more thing that we have to do. Connor, and that is give out the DQ award. So the DQ award is named after the great man Dez Quilty, and this is the person who has had the most entertaining confessional. Before we give out the options for the DQ award, I need to tell you about another curse that has come to our attention. Shannon and I have discovered something, Connor, which is quite disturbing.
Okay.
That every winner of the DQ award thus far this season has been voted out the week after.
Oh, hot damn. Hot damn.
Okay. Jackie, gone.
Oh,
Kent,
Jackie.
Gone. AK, gone.
Man, you're full of curses.
We are cursed. Last week, Luke won the DQ award, so that means that next week he's probably going to go.
That's actually, I mean, that's very likely, actually. This could be a real deal.
I think, what's the saying? Two's a trend, three's a pattern or something like that, or... something like that. I think we're heading into
freeze a party. That's for sure.
I think we're heading into cursed territory. All right, I only have two people up for the award today, but they get two confessionals each.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Let's go through old mate Luke. Luke says, AK is the biggest player here, landed in my lap. He didn't realize there's a bigger shark, and he's right here. AK going to be voted out next. He's going to be a trophy on my wall. I'm going to stuff him, put him on a plaque, put him up in front of the fireplace at home, biggest trophy of the game. He also said in the same episode, I'm lying through my teeth. I'm acting out here. Bold and the Beautiful, get me on something there. Get me something there.
I'm already smiling before you tell him. I gotta throw away my bias. Yeah, you keep going.
I think we know who's going to win. The next one is two quotes from Annalise. Annalise says, I walked into a full-blown nightmare at Samatau. I'm back with everyone who voted against me, but I'm here. I'm going to have to work with it. I'm smiling. I'm so happy to be back here, guys. No hard feeling. That's fine. Everything's fine. Everything is not fine.
I can relate to that. Yeah. I feel that wisdom.
And on Henry's meditation, she says, we sat on the beach and I tried to meditate next to him, but I just closed my eyes and breathed a bit and acted like I felt peaceful, but I was panicking on the inside.
Yeah, no, I definitely relate to that. When I saw that, when they were doing it, I was like, how can any of them think about like even meditating for a second?
Connor, who is getting the DQ award this week? Remember that you are either cursing Annalise to be voted out or doubling down and ensuring that definitely Luke will be cursed.
I don't want to wreck the curse. I want to keep that going. I feel like if I double down, like I'll wreck the curse. I think, and I did definitely relate to the last one by Annalise. I think I'll go for that one.
Excellent. Annalise, congratulations. Your first ever DQ award. Excellent.
You're welcome, Annalise. Sorry for the curse.
She's going to hate you. Connor.
Nick.
We've made it to the end. We have covered a lot of ground, a lot of ground tonight. I want to thank you so much. We've covered so many awesome things, but we have to give out a hashtag for the people to say that they made it to the end. We've had some great hashtags this season, but any ideas of a little phrase that people can use?
Oh my God, a hashtag. I'm so bad with hashtags. I've always, this is why I have a girlfriend. She does my hashtags for me.
Well, I think I've got a suggestion for you, unless you've got one up your sleeve.
No, throw it out. Throw it at me.
In honor of the great Shannon Gates and that excellent song, what about hashtag put out your chicken idols?
I agree. I think that's phenomenal. And I think she deserves a shout out. She was so talented. She put so much work into it as well.
Or we could hashtag, go hashtag put out your chicken. Get Phoebe'd.
Get filthy Phoebe. I like put out your idols, your chicken idols.
Excellent. Put out your chicken idols. It's a big hashtag, but I like it. Everyone, hashtag put out your chicken idols and let us know. And also let us know, what would you have buy, swap, or sold? What did you think of what we discussed here today? And I love hearing from you. You know, the comments have been great. The tweets, the Instagram, the mentions and all that, just keep them coming. So at Nick Idanza on Twitter and on Instagram. Connor, where can people find you?
You won't find me. I'm hidden. I'm always hidden. Probably at the Treasury. That's probably where I'm going to be most of my time. don't come find me.
Connor, please, one day, you know, if we get another season or so, I hope you'll come back and discuss everything with us again. Because
I'd love to, Nick.
I absolutely loved chatting with you.
I love chatting with you too, and thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. This has been great. Getting a lot of it off my chest as well.
Yeah, good. All right, guys. I will be back next week. Not going to tell you who the guest is. Hasn't been locked down exactly yet. But we will get back to you on that one. I'll have another round of exit interviews. And like I said, check out my interview with AK and Ben, which is already up on the website. And we are going to send you off again with another rendition, another play around of Shannon Gates's awesome song. So everyone, take care, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Another turning point, a swap put in the game. A new buff on your wrist, and now a new tribe name. Tara told Luke that you were running the show. I blame this on the non-elimination episodes. The game is unpredictable, but we don't think it's right. Put out your chicken idols for Aaron Knight. Take your confessionals and Velcro wallet lines. Now that you're gone, Jared might just get screen time. Controlling Summertown, invading Lucky. We wish it wasn't you who had to get Phoebe'd. The game is unpredictable, but we don't think it's right. Put out your chicken idols for Aaron Knight.